From the Chinese. And as you may know, if you've ever read any translations of Chinese poetry, one of the most common subjects is the deserted courtesan, the famous poem by Li Po. There's playback on this now. I don't know what to do about this. the subjects of poetry, particularly popular poetry, are very similar all over the world, of course, and the subject of this poem is not unlike that of blues or of My Man or some French cafe chantant song. It's actually in two parts. And the first part is by the greatest Sung Dynasty poetess, the greatest poetess in China, named Li Qingzhao. And the second part is by Zhu Xu Jun. And I might explain that it mentions, there's one exoticism in it. It mentions the day of cold food. This is a day shortly after the Chinese New Year, when all fires are put out and nothing is cooked, and new fire used to be lit ritually, and then all the fires were lit from that. This is something like the Roman Catholic ceremony in our own country of Holy Saturday. But I'll do it, as I say, with Ron Crowley on the bass alone. Clear and bright is the splendor of spring on the day of cold food. The dying smoke rises from the jade animal, like a silk thread floating in water. I dream on a pile of cushions, amongst scattered, broken hair ornaments. Swallows have not come back from the southern sea, but already men begin again fighting for straws. Petals fly from the peach trees along the river. Willow catkins fill the air with floss. And then the orange twilight fall, widely spaced drops of rain. Spring has come. I try to forget all the old quarrels and anguish. In the gentle breeze, in the clear brightness, all things should start anew. But why do the birds all hate me? Why do the peach and cherry blossoms prostrate me? Tears streak the paint on my cheeks. All my clothing's too loose for my starved body. When spring comes with a third moon, I know I am a burden to my Lord. But oh, my Lord, in the third moon of spring, the east wind is a heavy burden to me. Now, one of a series of poems written to my daughters about various astronomical objects, and about Halley's Comet, and the Great Nebula of Andromeda, and various other things. This is about the walking out in the Fillmore district, the Negro district of San Francisco, with Mary, my daughter, on Christmas Eve, a couple of years ago. The reference is to the nebula of Orion, which is in the three stars mark the sword of Orion. The center star is kind of hazy, and there's a nebula around it, and that's what a sword in a cloud of light means. Your hand and mine, we walk out to watch the Christmas Eve crowd on Fillmore Street, the Negro district. The night is thick with frost. The people hurry, wreathe in their smoky breath. Before the shop windows, children jump up and down with spangled eyes. Jukeboxes in the bars, Louis Armstrong plays White Christmas. In the joint, girls strip and grind and bump to Jingle Bells. Overhead, the neon signs scribble and erase, scribble again. Messages of average, joy, fear, hygiene, the proud name of the middle class. The main corner and look up diagonally across at the rising moon and the solemn, orderly, vast winter constellation. You say, there's Orion, the most beautiful object either of us will ever know in the world or in life, stands in the moonlit, empty heaven, over the swarm, men, women, children, black, white, joyous, greedy, evil and good, buyer and seller, master and victim, like some immense theorem, which if once solved would forever solve the mystery and pain under the bells and spangles. Thank you.
is the man of the night before Christmas, spread out on the sky like a true god, in whom it would only be necessary to believe a little. I am 50, you are 5, but do no good to say this, and it may do no good to write it. Believe in a rhyme. Believe in the night, the moon, the crowded earth. Believe in Christmas, birthdays, Easter rabbits. Believe in all those fugitive compounds of nature, all doomed to waste away and go out. Always be true to these things. They are all there is. Never give up this savage religion for the blood-drenched, civilized abstractions of the rascals who live by killing you and me. One now with Claire Willie with the piano alone. It's called This Night Only. Moonlight now on Malibu. The winter night, a few stars far away, millions of miles. Going on and on forever around the earth, far and far as your lips are near, filled with the same light as your eyes. Darling, 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 the future is long gone by, and the past will never happen. Forever, so small, so infinite, so brief, so vast. Immortal as our hands that touch, deathless as the firelit wine we drink, almighty as this single kiss, that had no beginning, that will never, never end. Now, this poem, which is fairly long, is called The Shadow. When I waited for you in the bar, that night amongst the drunks who snickered when they tried to laugh, it seemed to me that you came late. Somebody followed you in the street. I saw you look around before you came in. You were afraid. You closed the door. Your shadow stayed outside. It was that which had followed you. Your shadow was always in the street, near the bar where I waited for you so often. But you are dead, and your shadow ever since is in the doorway. Wherever I go now, it follows fearfully, like a beast. If I stop, it stops. If I speak to it, runs away. Thank you. Your shadow is the color of rain. My regret of time which passes, it may disappear and hide itself. But when night comes, it is everywhere. At the subway station La Chapelle, in the poor and clamorous slums, it waits for me behind the black pillars, where other fraternal shadows wave to the passers-by and call with great gestures of hopelessness. Passers-by never turn around. Not one has ever known why. In the wind which makes the street lamps blink, in the cold wind full of mystery, suddenly they quicken their steps. Seek where you might be. I, who know that you wait for me there, I pass without recognizing you. I come and go all night. I walk alone, just like in the old days. And your shadow, the color of rain, driven at each step of the wind, your shadow is lost in the night, but I feel it all about me. When you were just a streetwalker, just an innocent prostitute, like the girl who appeared, Whitechapel, one night, Thomas De Quincey, whom he sought, too late, never found, doorway, doorway, hotel, hotel, as he tells in a book. There, for the first time that I met you, you were tired, sad, like the tarts of London. Your hair still held an odor of fall, while they stood you drinks. The drunken longshoreman insulted you, or went home with you in the somber street. I'll never forget the effect which you had on me in that hopeless book. Nor the wind, nor the rain, nor the gleaming pavement, nor the murderers of the night, nor the flares of the coffee stalls, nor the eddies of the Thames, between its dismal embankments. after all these years, another who resembles you comes along the gray Paris buildings, beckons to me and hustles me. Passerby from whom I ask a light holds out to me a dead cigar. Wherever I turn my steps, it is the same story. I am always going toward the train whistles on a great boulevard, troubled, peopled with ghosts. There, I wait for I do not know who, I do not know why. The trains pass screaming, just waiting, it's more like leaving. You have come to go away. I have brought you to these desolate places. You have said to me, whatever you do, it is me. From now on, you will see among all these ghosts. Feel me near you. You will realize that I am dead. You will never forget me. I listened to you, followed you under the streetlights. There was no one but us alive there where we went, only us. But I knew that of the two of us, the first to say goodbye would be you. No use trying to hold you by your little hand. Crying, the rumbling, the smoke of the trains, the rails and their signal lights, the black bridge, all resounding, the noise of the heavy boxcars bumping each other by an obscure foreboding have already separated us. Same sinister district, we seat ourselves on a bench in the night, and the wind, which drives the rain, the lamps of the rooming houses, the pimps in their damp sweaters, the girls who stare at us, gather around us, their witches, circle draws in on us. Then you are put to tears. Trying to explain to me without raising your voice that one day you will deliver me from these ghosts who are in me. You talk and the rain falls. It is the rain which makes you weep with a grief which nothing can appease, with an inconsolable pain. Of houses revolves tirelessly with the guys and their girls, the bars where the jukeboxes grind, flinging to us sometimes through the door the call of a dead voice. The round which nothing can stop turns, carries me with it. With you who are dead, turn and will carry me always with all my past, out of time, out of the world, out of all that is or is not, as you in the shadow, you know.
Read in the dark. The first piece we'll do is called Habeas Corpus, which, in case you don't know, means in law, you have the body. It is impossible to see anything in this dark, but I know this is me, Rex Roth, plunging through the night on a chilling planet. It is warm, busy in this vegetable darkness, where invisible deer feed quietly. The sky is warm, heavy, even the trees over my head cannot be distinguished. But I know they are knob cone pines, that their cones endure unopened on the branches, at last to grow embedded in the wood, waiting for fire to open them, reseed the burned forest. And I am waiting, alone, in the mountains, in the forest, in the darkness, and the world falls swiftly on its measured ellipse. It is warm tonight, very still. Stars are hazy, and the river vague and monstrous under the fireflies. It's hardly audible, resonant and profound at the edge of hearing. I can just see your eyes and wet lips, invisible, solemn, and fragrant. Your flesh opens to me in secret. We shall know no further enigma. After all the years, there is nothing stranger than this. One double thing, move our limbs as deft implements of one fused lust, our mysteries in each other's arms. At the wood's edge, in the moonlight, we dropped our clothes and stood naked, swaying, shadow mottled, enclosed in each other and together, closed in the night. We did not hear the whippoorwill nor the aspen's whisper. The owl flew silently or cried out loud. We did not know. We could not hear beyond the heart. We could not see. Moving dark and light, the stars stood or moved, the stars that fell. Did they all fall? We had not known. We were falling like meteors, dark through black hole, toward each other, and then compact, blazing. Air into the earth. You have the body, blood and bone, and hair and nail. Tooth and eye, you have the body, the skin taut in the moonlight, the sea gnawing at the empty mountains, the head of the body tensile, erect. The full barley ears, whip and flail in the rain-gorged wind, the flame of lightning breaks in the air for a moment and vanishes. I tell you, the memory of your flesh is as real as live flesh, or falling stone, or burning fire. You have the body, the sun, brocaded, brown and pink, naked, wedded body, its eternal blood, biting the world. and his time.